The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to begin our impact segment as we do each hour, 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Now, for many of us with this pandemic, it has brought out some major struggles in, well, all of us, adults and children and everyone in between alike. Let alone the basic topic of mental health and other struggles. So I thought I would reach out to a young man who is a staff member of the Josh McDowell Ministry. He's also author, speaker, and director of what is called Resolution. Ben Bennett, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Ben, how are you?
Hey, Frank. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Grateful to have you on. I apologize. You have been messaging me for a number of weeks, and I'm glad we finally got you on the calendar. Finally, you're on the radio. Grateful to have you for this time. And thank you for what you do at Josh McDowell Ministry. Can you talk a little bit about, for those that may know Josh McDowell, and they're like, well, tell us more about the ministry. I know you've been on staff there for a few years. Talk about Josh McDowell Ministry, and then we'll get into the topic at hand.
Yeah, and thanks to you for having me on the show. It's great to get connected with you. Josh McDowell Ministry has been around for about 5 decades, and some listening may know Josh as one who speaks about love and relationships, apologetics, just defending and supporting different aspects of the Christian faith. And so primarily we just serve others until the whole world hears about Jesus. We create resources, give talks, videos, and books all around the world.
Now, recently, through the ministry, there was a release written called New Movement Launches to Help Gen Z Overcome Pain and Struggles. Let's talk a little bit about the new movement. What is Resolution?
Yeah, so the Resolution movement is something that Josh McDowell and I launched, and it's a play on words with resolution. We want to help resolution our communities, our teens, our churches with solutions to their struggles that are biblically based. So we deal with a lot of issues like mental health issues, pornography, shame, body image issues. And we really saw just that this next generation is disconnected and lonely and struggling. And we want to offer them proven solutions that will come alongside them and help. And this next generation is amazing. They're so connected. They have such opportunity with education, and we believe in them. So just want to come alongside them and their leaders with different solutions to help them know Jesus, find healing, find freedom, and make Jesus known.
By the way, for our listeners, you can find more at resolutionmovement.org. That's the website. We'll talk more about some specifics with the Resolution Movement. But I want to say a small statement and then ask you in direct to what I'm about to share, Ben. And I want to be careful here. I cast no aspersions over individuals or groups that do great work. And there are many ministries that are doing wonderful work addressing a whole array of things. And to even go into mental health, you are to be commended. Now, that being said, one of my struggles personally is when I get to know some of those that are the founders or their ministries, that there's a reticence sometimes to not be too transparent. Now, that I don't fault them for maybe not sharing, hey, I've battled with this or I've struggled with that. And that's their right to say or not. I don't think they're any less or more qualified by not sharing. But one of the many things that drew me to this statement, you were very transparent about not only co-founding this with Josh, but sharing you've had some struggles along the lines too. So Would you just for a moment talk a little bit how this also hits home with you?
Yeah. I think recently the statement came to mind, and this I think was from the Lord, but your story is your authority. Because I don't have a degree in psychology. I've just gone through a lot in life, and God has provided people to help. And so a lot of this began at an early age for me, just dealing with mental health issues like anxiety and depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, beginning to deal with suicidal thoughts and wishing that I had never been born. And some of that came as a result of just growing up in this environment that wasn't safe, feeling rejection from my family and like I didn't fit in there, being bullied by friends. And so I so longed for safety and acceptance. And I had that with God. I had a personal relationship with Jesus, grew up going to church. And so I kind of felt like I was alone in the world and the only one who was there for me was God. And then as I got a little bit older, around middle school, I was introduced to pornography. And that quickly as well became an addiction. So I say that I had this cocktail of compulsions, just trying to find acceptance meaning and pleasure and escape from the hardships of life. And, I like that the Bible is honest about other people who've experienced hardships that we see different categories of people like Job and losing his family and his health, his wealth, his possessions. He became so depressed that he wished he had never been born. Mm-hmm. And then David just in 1 Samuel, being on the run from Saul, being so anxious, hiding in caves. So I identified with those characters. But all of this kind of just grew and grew and grew in my life and became so painful. And ultimately, I thought that all of these issues were ultimately my problem, that I just had to stop being more anxious, stop being more depressed, stop going back again and again to pornography. But what I started to realize after I started investigating the scriptures more and more shortly after college and walking with Jesus and being surrounded by people who love Jesus and treated me as the Son of God, as a son of God and just so loved, I started to have these new experiences. And I got into counseling and addiction recovery, and I started to realize that these issues in my life weren't random. They were signals to be answered, and God had created me with these deep desires, these longings to be approved of by Him, to know Him, to be accepted by others. You know, thinking back to the Garden of Eden, we all were created to be safe, to be known, to be accepted. And that's what God wanted for my life. But of course, we live in a fallen world and things happen. And as a result of all the pain I had gone through, I had developed ways to survive. But God really began to bring healing as I got involved with people who loved me, who accepted me, who helped me understand why I was so caught in these struggles. And through counseling and recovery, I ultimately found lasting freedom from pornography. I've been free for over 6 years, and it's something I thought I could never live my life without. So it's just a testament to what God is able to do when we start to understand why we are struggling and how He provides solutions. He wants to re-solution us with answers to our struggles. And then for years, I was on college campuses speaking and writing and leading groups, and people were finding freedom through Jesus, through others, through different principles. And then for the past 3 years, Josh McDowell and I have been working on expanding that vision and those solutions to help more that are hurting and to help them find true answers and freedom and solutions here and now.
Praise God. Bed Bennett is my guest. He, along with Josh McDowell, have launched the Resolution Movement, resolutionmovement.org. It is a series of podcasts, videos, small groups, social media, speakers, events, training, interactive articles, videos. They've pretty much covered it all. ResolutionMovement.org. If you need help, reach out. Ben, of the many things you said, a lot of things stood out, but I want to circle back to one in particular. And let me set it up this way. Mm-hmm. I have a men's ministry, and one of the greatest challenges and struggles men face is pornography. And the stereotypical making the vow, I'm not going to go back, and then they do, and they're ashamed, or they hide it. Kind of this catch-22 of spiraling and shame and addiction. Now, Gen Z is a younger generation. They have probably been, not probably, it's been proven, they have access to technology like never before another generation. And mm-hmm. we kind of hear it as in the bad context, where a whole array of reasons why that they don't interact socially anymore. It's all technologically. But the flip side, and what I know you and Josh have worked hard for, is that may be true, but in the same sense, there's never been more potential through technology to impact the next generation and adults and impact the world about such things as mental health and addiction, et cetera. Can we talk a little bit about technology? And then I want to get into just a brief conversation, and I think as it applies to addiction, how our brains are, if they're wired a certain way, neurological pathways, responses,
yes.
it's familiar to go back to that self-destructive pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So share a little bit about technology, the youth, and maybe we can get into addictions and how we know neurologically repetition, addiction, it can be broken. And it's perfectly understandable by mental health professionals and medical health professionals alike.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you asked that question about technology, because I've been thinking so much about this the past couple of years. Like, I think, what would the Apostle Paul do today?
Right.
If you had technology. And then even recently I was reading a study and learned that Martin Luther used the technology of the day to advance the Reformation, and that was the printing press. But today, you think about Google and smartphones and everything everywhere, yet we are struggling to some extent to reach people with the gospel. So I've been thinking about, and what we started to do with Resolution is, how do we see these problems that people are facing as opportunities? So anxiety, huge problem. Loneliness, huge problem. Pornography, huge problem. But we know for every problem, Jesus provides a greater solution. So in some of the videos we're doing on technology, we're talking about anxiety, but how the anxiety is ultimately not somebody's problem. It's their solution. It's a signal that we get anxious when we're afraid for our safety, but we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So for those that are growing up without a Christian worldview, who don't know much about Jesus, we're looking at the felt needs. And Josh McDowell said this to me recently. I think it sums it up perfectly. He says, there's many ways to Jesus, but only one way to God, through Jesus. So if we look at the New Testament, people came to Jesus for healing, for salvation, for peace. But he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only way to God is through Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection on the cross. But how can we apply that to today through technology? Because one of the things we've learned is that so many of this next generation are no longer asking the questions that my generation was asking, or people who are older, and that was, how do I get to heaven? I grew up in youth group. I remember the Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames events.
Wow.
And that scared me so much. I wanted so badly to go to heaven and not to hell. And now we have a generation asking a different question, and that's not how do I get to heaven, it's how does Jesus change life here and now? And thankfully, we serve a God who said that the kingdom is here and now, and he has a lot to say about restoring our lives here and now an eternal life, a relationship with him begins here and now. We're not just waiting at the rapture rest stop, the rapture bus stop for him to come back. He has a purpose for us here and now and to tell other people about him. So we're just trying to, that's a long way of answering it, but we're trying to do a lot on social media and looking at what young people use. A third of Gen Z say that they, I think it's a third, want to be a vlogger or a YouTuber when they grow up. So
right.
We're continuing to put out YouTube videos and just trying to think digitally first. And how can we serve a generation who spends 5+ hours of their every single day on their smartphones and on the internet?
Ben Bennett is my guest. Again, the website, resolutionmovement.org. He is in all the social media outlets. I just started following him on Instagram. And I'll ask this. This, in part, well, let me backtrack. I'm all over the place here. Let me backtrack. A few years ago, through a series of media releases, and I have followed Josh for a while, his book, More Than a Carpenter, was integral in me coming to Christ more than 10 years ago. And I've had Josh on the program a number of times. But I noticed a few years ago, all of a sudden, there was a lot of activity, him being vocal about waging into the fight about pornography, which was a little different shift, but it really caught my attention. And obviously, Resolution with you coming alongside Josh is part of that. But the struggle of addiction, the hopelessness that is fueled, there are ways that we know our synapses fire a certain way, pathways, responses are easier, and yet we can break that cycle. I don't want to say easy, but there are ways by which, and I'd love to hear the hope in Christ, but specifically with technology, through what you're doing with Resolution, how, in a sense, we can retrain the youth and others to choose to be healed, choose to be healthy, choose to make good decisions. And as you do that more and more, the healing is provided in the interim. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And I totally agree with you, Frank. You may have heard the statement that the neurons that fire together wire together, but also the neurons that fire apart wire apart. So just as we get addicted to things, we can unlearn and then become attached or addicted in a healthy sense to healthy things. And that was crucial for me to learn, because for years I thought I just had a moral problem, and I did with pornography,
right.
But I also needed to learn that I had a brain problem. And I remember investigating the scriptures, and that over 570 times throughout the Bible, the words mind, think, and believe are mentioned. And so I don't think it's a coincidence, and a large amount of those times, they're in the positive, like think about things that are true, noble, right, and pure. And we know Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the Bible's been talking about neuroscience and our brains healing and being good stewards of our brain and the ability to change before science has. And so I remember learning that about that and being blown away and realizing that, okay, this is going to be a process. Let me be patient with myself. I know that God is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, that he is patient with me. But I also need to take faith-filled steps to share about this struggle, to find a recovery program. And Frank, one of the most fascinating things I found in my healing journey, because it took about 4 years of really getting into group support and therapy and really crying out to God to help me find freedom. One of the things I found was that in my struggle with pornography, one of the things that lured me to it the most was that super flow of dopamine, of good, feel-good chemicals in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that so badly because it felt like all around me, I felt like I was failing, I was being rejected by people, or I wasn't measuring up. Pornography made the pseudo promise that it was always going to be there and make me feel good. So as I began this journey, I got around a group of guys, and we started processing our emotions and talking about the stressors and how we felt rejected. And I started to reach out rather than act out. And as I kept doing that, what happened was new neurological pathways were developed in my brain. And as I reached out to people, I found, because I love researching, I found that my brain was also releasing dopamine and oxytocin. Mm-hmm. Oxytocin is a bonding agent. So just as I was caught in this unhealthy behavior that promised me something, God had a greater behavior that was going to reward me with the same or similar neurochemicals, but just in a way that he had designed life to function that was much healthier and more satisfying. And ultimately, through that and understanding the why behind my behavior and my struggles and what I was truly looking for, over time, God's grace, the Holy Spirit at work within me, I started to find lasting freedom, and he brought that in my life.
Ben Bennett is my guest from Josh McDowell Ministry. I will say it again, the website, very resourceful. Please go to it, find out more about it, resolutionmovement.org. Ben, we've got a couple of minutes. I want to give you the airwaves just to talk about resolution. Anything you want to share with the listeners, obviously I'll share the website again at the conclusion, but there is so much to what you are doing, and there is hope available, not just for the Gen Z, the younger folks, but for those of us, they may not be so youthful anymore, by just going to that site and getting involved. Talk more about resolution and the movement.
Yes. So our desire is to come alongside people who are already doing great work so that, you know, you may be involved in a church that has a recovery ministry, may have a youth group, may have a small group ministry. So much of our material, our podcasts, our YouTube videos, our social media channels was developed to try and find try and solve or be the missing link in people's healing journeys in the body of Christ right now. And that's why so much of what we talk about focuses on the why. Why do people continue to get anxious? Why do they continue to get depressed? Why do they go back to pornography? We know there's support available. There's counselors, that there's a lot of programs going on, but we really wanted to help people understand that why in their life so that ultimately there could be greater freedom and healing. So much of our stuff is available for free, and we've got articles and whatnot. And but we also come and speak, you know, Lord willing, once if things start to, yeah, we return to gatherings and whatnot, yeah, we'd love to come and speak. Josh and I, or just one of us, to your youth group or church or whatnot. And we've got a ton in the works in the next couple of years, a book coming out and more small group resources. So we're just here to serve you.
Beautiful. The website again, resolutionmovement.org, resolutionmovement.org. My guest, Ben Bennett, along with Josh McDowell, have launched this wonderful ministry. And Ben, please give Josh my best. I'm grateful we finally had you on. Maybe in the next few months we can circle back. Lord willing, I will affirm your hope and your prayers that we can start getting out and getting gatherings and opening churches and getting together. But between now and then, obviously, you're doing incredible God-like healing work at the ministry online at resolutionmovement.org. Ben, it was a blessing to spend time with you. I look forward to much more. Thanks for today.
Yes, thanks so much, Frank. Really appreciate what you're doing and having me on the show.
I look forward to many more. Ben Bennett's my guest, Josh McDowell Ministries, resolutionmovement.org. When we continue, there is an NBA player that caught some attention over the weekend for doing something no other NBA player has done since the season has, well, resumed. We'll talk about Jonathan Isaac when we continue next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Now, I want to kind of wade into this one, and we'll open the phone lines. 888-528-2557. If you don't know, I'll just maybe share with a small group of you. There's an NBA player. His name is Jonathan Isaac. I think this is his second season. The season started last week, and during the national anthem, NBA players and coaches and members have knelt wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. And Jonathan Isaac stood wearing his team jersey, and it was reported he was pretty much the only NBA player to do so. Now, since that, there is another story out. Evidently, there is one other NBA player. His name is Myers Leonard. Saturday, he's the second player to stand during the anthem. His brother is reportedly serving in the military in Afghanistan. Now, and sadly, over the weekend, Jonathan Isaac had a severe knee injury. I think the same knee that he's had problems with before. And I think he is out for, if not the entire season, pretty much. So do we want to even talk about this? I mean, I want to acknowledge him. I did on my ministry Instagram page. And there were some people that were upset by my post. And let me see if I can go to it very quickly, because I want to be transparent about what I shared. Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac became the very first and only NBA player to stand during the national anthem since the season restart. And then I listed direct quotes from him. Isaac said he didn't think, quote, kneeling or putting on a t-shirt for me personally is the answer. For me, Black lives are supported through the gospel. End quote. He then spoke about his faith, saying he believes the answer to getting past all the evils of society, including racism, is, quote, the gospel. End quote. And then I wrote, say what you will, to stand as the only one took courage and conviction. How many of us can claim the same level of faith in God? And as of this broadcast, we've had more than 70 comments. I actually deleted some. But there were some people that were upset. Again, Black Lives Matter organization, Black Lives Matter statement. And so if you want to share any of your thoughts, I'm receptive to the idea of taking your calls, 888-528-2557. If you want to comment directly on the Jonathan Isaac story, or maybe just the NBA making their statement, or the NFL, I'm sure, will be making their statement, baseball as well. For me, if you don't know where I stand on this, I would have absolutely zero problem with any professional athlete making symbolic statements like this. But here's the caveat. As long as they don't do it during the national anthem. I support the right. And for me, and I know that the narrative has changed a bit, right? Going back to Colin Kaepernick in 2016, the very first time he made his statement, he alluded to the country. And then that somehow changed into law enforcement specifically. And I'm bringing this up not to be contentious. I don't necessarily want to get into any arguments on the air. This is still a country by which we embrace freedom of speech, even though when it comes to social media, there are some entities that seem to have a vested interest in silencing certain views. But what about, first of all, Jonathan Isaac as a young man, an NBA player who stood? Anything you want to say about his actions specifically, first and foremost, 888-528-2557. 2557. Now, I will say this, in the 70-some-odd comments on my ministry Instagram page, not one recognized what Jonathan Isaac did. It was all about Black Lives Matter and the statement and the movement and then some people getting at it with each other back and forth. But not one would even acknowledge what this man did. And I kind of took exception to that. Now, I'm looking at the phones. I'm assuming our phones work. We've had technical difficulties. 888-528-2557. And so I'm going to share a few more thoughts. We'll break, maybe come back with calls. I'm assuming this may be something you want to talk about. So if it is, best to get on the phones now. We'll screen you and then come back for one round. And if not, I've got a whole lot of stuff. I've got what's going on in Portland. They're burning Bibles in Portland now at the protest. Yeah, why not? We can get into that. Hydroxychloroquine is in the news again. And some other items as well. But if you'd like to talk about the NBA, what Jonathan Isaac did, you're welcome to call. If you want to talk about professional sports and this idea of what players are doing, maybe you can help me understand. Is there viable discussion with the clarification between the movement and the actual organization? Are some of the lines being blurred a little bit? 888-528-2557. By the way, I will say this, so I can be very transparent. I have chosen to not watch 1 minute of any professional baseball, basketball, or football this season. I will not watch 1 minute. I actually took something called the No Fans Left Pledge. You may know of the veteran Brian Colfage. This guy put his life on the line for the country. He lost three limbs. He's raising two children with his wife, and he has started this nofansleft.com where you sign the pledge. I'll read a little bit, and I've signed it, and I will honor it. I will not watch any professional sports. Hockey is on. Best as I know, they've not made statements. This is Brian Colfage. I wanted to thank you for taking the No Fans Left pledge to black out the NFL and NBA, and the list is growing. I gave three limbs for this country, and I worry what it will be like for my two young children if we don't stop the madness. Everyone said I could never do certain things. Doctors told me I would never walk again. I've done those things, and now this is my latest. This is just another challenge that we will crush. He uses the word. We're going to shut down the majority of the income for the NBA and NFL this season. 80% of it is from TV commercials. All we need to do. Oh, I just got a note. The phones are not working. Oh, okay. Great. We're going to get on that if you're. Well, okay, that was a distraction. Phones are not working. We'll see if we can fix them. So Colfage goes on to say, all we need to do is have many of the viewers turn off their TVs for the season. He says it's a simple thing to do. Our freedom is going to be pushed aside if we don't fight back. We can do it. Sign on at nofansleft.com. So when we come back, we'll see if we can get the phones working. We'll see where we're at. Maybe I'll share a few more thoughts on Jonathan Isaac, what's going on in professional basketball and baseball with Black Lives Matter. Hope and pray we can take your calls. Email me as well. I do know my emails work. FrankSontag@KKLA.com. FrankSontag@KPRZ.com as well. More of the Frank Sontag Show as we continue next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If you're just joining us, NBA player Jonathan Isaac, you may know, is the first NBA player to stand during the anthem when the NBA players are making their statement in solidarity with shirts that say Black Lives Matter. And he was asked in the postgame press conference why he did it, and he pointed to the gospel. Now, our phones are iffy. I do have one call on the screen. Dan in Anaheim. Dan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. long-time listener, and just wanted to quickly say I think he has every right to stand up for the national anthem as much as the people have a right to kneel, and I think he kind of expressed that he has Christian reason or I guess a logic behind standing up. But I guess my position on it is that kneeling or standing doesn't really determine if you are a Christian, or to be a Christian doesn't necessarily mean to be American, because the church doesn't have a border.
Okay, I'm a little lost with what you're saying. It does say on the screen, I don't think it's the place for him to do that, which is the opposite of what you shared. We'll just assume that what you said on the air. Okay, I appreciate your call. Jeremy in San Pedro. Jeremy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Jeremy, are you there?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Jeremy, that's you. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, man? How you doing? Yeah, I'm calling from San Pedro, California, and I'd like to say that I agree with the gentleman that's standing up.
Okay, you just said that. Obviously, we're having a little technical difficulty. Here's what I'd like to say. We're going to move on from the calls. We'll figure out what's going on and rectify the situation. Let me read a little bit of a Christian headline story on this very man, Jonathan Isaac. Became the first NBA player to stand for the national anthem, telling reporters in post-game interviews he was compelled to do so because of his Christian faith. Up until Isaac's stance, every NBA player had kneeled with teammates in a show of unity for racial justice. Isaac, who is black, told reporters he does believe in Black Lives Matter, but also believes the answer to society's problems is Christ. Quote, a lot went into my decision, and part of it is that kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt don't go hand in hand with supporting black lives. My life has been supported through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that everyone is made in the image of God, and that we all fall short of God's glory. Each and every one of us, each and every day, do things that we shouldn't do, and we say things that we shouldn't say. We dislike people that we shouldn't hate and dislike. Sometimes it gets to a point where we point fingers about whose evil is worse. This is all a direct quote from Jonathan Isaac. Sometimes it comes down to simply whose evil is most visible. So I felt like I wanted to just take a stand. I feel like we all make mistakes. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there's grace for us. Jesus came and died for our sins, and that if we all will come to an understanding of that and understand that God wants to have a relationship with us, that we could get past all of these things in our world that are messed up and jacked up. I think when you look around, racism is not the only thing that plagues our society. I feel like the answer to all of that is the gospel. End quote, Jonathan Isaac. I made mention of this story as it applies to the NFL. Take this for what you will. The NFL and the NFL Players Association have come to an agreement as it applies to COVID-19 and ways to ensure that players will be personally responsible during this pandemic. So, in order to play in the NFL and to have your contract honored, you sign on the dotted line and you agree to the following. You are prohibited from engaging in certain behaviors. You can't attend indoor nightclubs. This is the play in the NFL. You can't go to an indoor bar except to pick up food. You can't go to an indoor house party with 15 people or more. You can't attend an indoor concert. You cannot attend a professional sporting event. And wait for the last one. If you're an NFL player and you want to play and get paid, you cannot attend an indoor church service. Players can be fined for violating these rules. Moreover, if they test positive after engaging in any of these prohibited activities, again, the last one, cannot attend an indoor church service. They'll not be paid for the games they miss, and future guarantees and their contracts would be voided. One of the words thrown around is compliance. Let me just read this last story. In part, the topic at hand, we made mention of the NBA player Jonathan Isaac, Black Lives Matter. The protest, separate from the group. Two representatives of Students for Life of America were arrested Saturday in Washington, D.C. by police while writing Black Preborn Lives Matter. They did it in chalk outside a Planned Parenthood clinic in D.C. The group said they had permission from the city. In a news release, the Students for Life of America said, quote, it had applied and received a permit to paint the street outside of the D.C. Planned Parenthood, even complied with the D.C. Police Department's request to purchase special temporary paint, end quote. We do know D.C. city officials earlier this year allowed protesters to paint, defund the police on a city street. That was with permanent paint. Group representatives arrived at the area in front of the D.C. Planned Parenthood clinic Saturday morning, were met with several police cars. Police initially warned the group they would be arrested for using temporary paint, and when the two individuals said they would do chalk, the police said they would be arrested even if they used the chalk. When Students for Life staff member Warner DePriest and college student Eric Caparoletti began painting Black Preborn Lives Matter in chalk, they were arrested. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser had opened the streets of the city for what she called free public expression. The group responded, quote, what we didn't know was that you could only do that and not get arrested if the mayor agreed with you on what you expressed, end quote. SFLA says they will sue the city, Students for Life of America, and they issued this final quotation. We will no longer be silent. We will no longer politely wait for you to acknowledge our rights to free speech and expression. The next place you will see us, Mayor Bowser, will be in court. End quote, said SFLA Executive Vice President Tina Whittington, and said Erica Caparoletti, one of the two arrested in the site. She says this is government censorship. By the way, the Washington Post reported that the group mailed the mayor a letter stating, quote, having opening the streets of your city for public expression, Students for Life of America requests the opportunity to add our voices to those concerned about how people of color are treated in America, end quote. Sherilyn Holloway, the founder of Pro Black Pro Life, urged citizens to protect black lives, both born and preborn. She said, quote, I would talk to my other black friends who stand for racial justice, and I would talk about the abortion rate in the black community. And they would look back at me and they would say, well, what about when they are out of the womb? She said, and I knew I could not be the only one who cared about both, end quote. You can find that entire story at ChristianHeadlines.com. Would love to hear from you. Send an email. I may read yours on the air. Our phones are acting up today, so I will rely on emails. FrankSontag@KKLA.com and or FrankSontag@KPRZ.com. For those of you that stay with us, hour number two is next. Wait till you hear the latest from medical researchers on hydroxychloroquine. I'll leave it at that and just say, this is the Frank Sontag Show.